Last week on the show.
When you move to a different country, yes, the salary compared to the Philippines is higher, but the expenses here are so high. Rent here is almost cost of one salary.
Yeah, it's the same. This week on the Gleeful Talk Show.
If you were given a chance, would you spend a night at a luxurious hotel and all that fancy thing? Or would you spend it in a camping experience in this beautiful place?
Hey there, Zesty. Thanks for tuning in. I know everyone has gone through a lot, not only in the past year, but as well as in the present moment. Know that you are not alone in this journey. I myself have days and sometimes weeks of being down, most especially that I am away from my family and friends and only know a few people here in Australia. I encourage you to connect and reconnect with your most trusted people, no matter how far they are physically, or perhaps pursue new hobbies and horizons, as change is the only constant thing in life and we have to cope. For those having a hard time, please do reach out for professional help and prioritize your mental well-being. This is the second part of my conversation with Marian of Tita Talks. If you haven't listened to the first part, I suggest you go and have a listen. If you have listened previously, thank you for your continued support. A lot of people, though, here, they prefer living in the suburbs, which is like an hour away from the city. But for me, I don't know, for you, are you living in the city center where you,
offices
are near?
Yes, but we're not really close to the downtown, they say. It's more like a bus ride away. So it's not that expensive, I would say. But most of us, we're actually can barely afford a home. You can rent, usually are on apartments and rentals.
Yeah, same. A lot of people here prefer, even Australians, they prefer living in the suburbs because even them, it's hard for them as well, the housing and real estate. But for us, I still prefer living in the city because I think maybe because us Filipinos, we really prefer the city. We're not really, only a few Filipinos are really too into nature and too into wildlife.
We grew up poor. We grew up poor. That's actually one thing that was asked. We had a game during one of our lunch meetings, something. So we were asked, if you were given a chance, would you spend a night at a luxurious hotel and all that fancy thing? Or would you spend it in a camping experience in this beautiful place? The Canadians were all in the camping. The Filipinos were all in the hotel. And we were talking in Filipino. That's because we all live in a poor country. Every day is a camping. Yeah. Every day is camping day. Like, we struggle with water. We struggle with electricity. They don't experience that here. So they go for camping.
Yeah, exactly. Same with Australians. Aside from that, they have like really good like water supply and all, right? But they are really into nature. I mean, it's just also their nature here. People here are too into nature.
Same with Canadians. They go crazy during summer. They go camping all every summer, even with bears. There's an alert because my boss now, there was a warning that the area where her cabin is had bear sightings. So they were asked, if possible, do not go camping until it's clear from the bears and all that. She did not. She still went on camping. Every year she does camping every weekend. So she didn't care about that. But isn't it's in Australia, you have like the creepy crawly thing. I've heard about the insects and the animals that are very poisonous. And I don't know, is that a certain place in Australia?
People who live in the suburbs, so they have like very big spiders in their home. That's why I don't want to live in a house in the suburb. I have a friend also, a very good friend. She lives in the suburbs as well. They have a house and the surroundings is still nature. They can see kangaroos. Mm-hmm. So as their like neighbor, like hopping there and stuff. So, but me, I prefer to live in the city without spiders or
anything. Let's be safe.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that I heard from Australia that it's very popular with snakes. I think, well, this is one side of it, of course. This is just one side, the National Geographic side of Australia. I've heard about the poisonous spiders and all the snakes and sharks. And I don't even know what I was watching, but that was one of the National Geographic videos that I've watched before.
It's quite common still in households because even like that was one friend. I have another friend. She lived in the Sunshine Coast before. They lived in a, like, also like a house. So it's not a building. They see snakes, you know, like, it's just, okay, it's normal. They just see these creatures. And but for me, it's like, no, I wouldn't want to risk
scared.
It.
Yeah. We're scared. I guess when they grow up and growing up with the bears, for in my case, that's why it's very common, and they don't really care about that. Because as Filipinos, we were telling my boss, no, don't go there. The bears are very huge and they can harm you. But she didn't care. And funny thing is, after that weekend, when we had a meeting again, she even showed us a picture of the bear near her backyard. She was like, oh yeah, I did see a bear. The Filipinos in our team was like, how are you so proud? It's a bear.
Yeah.
But I guess it's common to them. I guess this is one thing that we also Filipinos have when we see other, what do we have in the Philippines? We kind of have everything.
Cockroaches and rats.
Yeah. We don't, well, unless the cockroaches are flying, but it's common to us.
Yeah, but I don't like cockroaches. I live poor, but I still don't love them.
I mean, who does? Who does?
Yeah. Especially when they're flying, right?
Oh, yeah. You're brave enough when they're just steady crawling and all that. But when they start flying, oh my God. No.
Yeah.
So I guess that's our equivalent of the bears and the snakes.
It's so funny. Even, I don't know, during the pandemic, if there are some news there that Australians were with the toilet paper. I don't know about.
Oh, Canadians. The Canadians were also like, yeah. Oh. I had a video. I think it was a couple of days before we go into full lockdown. Well, actually, we had the announcement a week before the actual implementation. So we had a week of people going to, actually, it's even more than a week, if I'm not mistaken. It's more than a week before the actual lockdown. So we had several days to buy and all that. But the next day, after it was announced, the next day, the tissues are gone. I mean, really? It was like crazy. Everything was gone. Paper towel, face tissues, any type of tissue was gone.
Yeah. For some reason, so like also here, same, like, even people were in Facebook marked themselves safety from the toilet to paper shortage. Like that. It's like, and it was all over TikTok as well. And even in the Philippines, they heard about Australia having shortage on toilet paper, which is funny to me. Funny for us, I feel.
As Filipinos,
I mean, like, we still use tissue.
Mm-hmm.
But
we don't depend our lives on
it. We can still live without it, right? We use the natural way.
Yep. That's true. So that's why they say Filipinos are safe from the whole zombie tissue thing that happened. Filipinos were like, okay, we're fine if there's no tissue. But during that time that I went on the superstore grocery, it was actually really empty. Like nothing, even face tissue, the Kleenex and all that, everything was gone.
During your full lockdown, was it like even people are still allowed to go in, right? Let's say it's already locked down, but the essential stores or the groceries are still open, right?
Yes, that's true.
And but then people still hoard, right?
That's true. There was actually, after the lockdown, like I guess I would say 2 weeks after the lockdown, we can go and pick up no matter how many tissues that they're available. But then I guess after that, they had a limit. So when new supplies came in, they had a limit of like 2 or 1 something package for just one person per family. So they actually had a limit on the number of people. So grocery stores, that's what they call out here. So the stores here
are
open.
You call grocery superstore?
It's actually one of the most famous big stores here, like Costco, but I keep on referring them as superstore. But yeah, the grocery stores were open, but they were onto like 25% capacity, so the lines were long, really, really long. Would that be the same case with you during the pandemic?
Same here as well. We had limits as well for cereal, for whatever you have. There's limit for
even cereals.
Items. Yeah, because for some reason people hoarded something, even pastas.
Thank God we did not have that. I mean, the tissues were accepted, but the other food, I mean, pastas and cereals were okay, but cereals and pasta.
Yeah, it was, and also like sanitizers as well. well. But yeah, it's everything had a limit at that time. Everything, because people just hoard. And yeah, that was funny. So what funny story when you first arrived in Canada?
I don't know if I would say this as funny or humiliating. But I definitely remember my first ever winter. So I didn't know how to walk. Because there's a training. Well, not really a training.
Really?
But there's a technique in walking because it's very slippery. So if it's snowing, it's okay. I mean, snow, it's definitely better than after it stops snowing and it's kind of melting. And then again, the temperature gets colder. The snow turns into like the popsicle thing. It's clear. It's super slippery. So you have to walk certain way to make sure not to fall down. So during my first winter, so the roads were slippery there. It's a mess. I was going off the bus, and I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but the buses here, we kind of have like a back door or rear door. So that's one way for you to go out of the bus. So I followed this guy, and this guy went out, and when the door opened, there was like a block of snow that was covered. The walkway were cleared, and so the snows were put on the side. So happened that the bus did not stop at that particular area for the bus stop, so it kind of moved, and so the snow were blocking the door. So the guy before me, all he did was step on it and then hop over, and he was able to go out. I tried it thinking that it would just be easy because it's my first snow experience. So I thought, yeah, I could just do it. I mean, it's nothing. I can jump. It was so slippery. I slipped and hit my head. And to avoid being humiliated, I pretended to be like I was unconscious. Yeah. I thought that I could get away with it because the guy before me was able to do it. I didn't get to do it. So I thought that to save myself from the embarrassment, I would just pretend and then maybe someone would help me and something to save myself.
Yeah.
But nobody helped. Nobody came. So I had to stand up on my own, shake it off. Yeah, and that's when I realized that if it's winter, never ever go out the rear door, because it's always, always, there's a possibility that the snow will block that area. So from then on, I have been learning how to cope with winter.
Oh my God.
Definitely one thing that you would learn once you are in a country like here, where winter is, well, in my area, at least, where winter is really bad. You have to walk a certain way. You have to know where to, again, to go out of the bus. That was the most humiliating one. And I actually sued, not really sued, but I went and claimed damage from the city because of that.
Oh, really? Oh,
I did.
Because
I was working with the city at that time. So I told them about what happened. They said, no, that should not happen because the bus should stop at a certain area. And this certain area should be cleared from all the snow. Just so happens that the bus that I took did not stop in that exact area. So the rear door was covered with snow. So they told me to go and sue the city. I did. But it was just for like $100. So it was really big.
It's a good thing as well with being in the first world country, right? Because these things you can claim in the city.
Mm-hmm.
The Philippines, no. Whatever happens to you in the jeepney or something, it's your fault.
It's sometimes even your fault. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's your fault. Nobody cares. You were the dumb one. Yeah. I guess if this happened in the Philippines, I would just be like laughed off. And you just move on.
Yeah.
That's
a funny way of learning.
It's embarrassing. It's more of embarrassing. Yeah. And from then on, I started learning never, ever, ever trust the snow. If it's like too shiny, it's going to be slippery. So you would fall. So that's one problem here with the snow. So I hate snow. I officially hate snow.
Same with my husband as well. Like it snows in his city as well. He couldn't comprehend why Filipinos love snow. Like, oh, snow, you know, for him. snow is annoying your car and everything. But it's because of media, I feel. The movies.
Yeah, the movies, the Hollywood movies, the Christmas movies, where we're made to believe that snow added to the magical factor of opening Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true.
It's too cold.
That's true.
And what do you like about the lifestyle in Canada right now?
I guess if it's because I live in the province area, so provincial area. So I don't know if this would be the same for those that are living in Toronto or those bigger cities. But I would say that the life here is more of peaceful and laid back. We don't have the noisy streets, and then we don't have too much traffic. If there's traffic here, there's definitely some murder or something that happened along the road. But I can remember just two events where there was traffic and there was car collision at that time. So it's very laid back. I definitely would say that this is more of the life that you would want if you're too tired of the city. But the thing is, I'm not yet tired of the city.
Me too. So,
right? We're not that mature, I guess. So if you want to retire, maybe, and settle down a peaceful life where you just go and eat and shop and grocery things, I would definitely say come to Manitoba, come to Winnipeg. It's a laid back life, but I miss the city, the hustle and I miss the city life.
Yeah, me too. How about the food there? Is the food good? Choices, the varieties?
I guess this is the benefit of a diverse country. We have so many options available. So it's not just the Canadian food. We have Jollibee, of course. That's very important to mention. We have Jollibee. We have Asian food. We have Indian foods. We actually have a lot, because every nation would have their own food, their own restaurant here. So I guess that's one thing that is a benefit of a diverse country. I would assume it would be the same with Australia. But you said you don't have a lot of Filipino community.
In Australia as well, actually, Brisbane, there are fewer immigrants compared to Sydney and Melbourne. So as well, so that's the downside of it, because, I mean, it's still diverse, but I guess me coming from Dubai again, Dubai food is a whole different level. I feel in Dubai, it's easier. For me, it's cheaper to buy food outside rather than cook it yourself.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, because there are a lot of varieties. So there's competition in pricing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but here I feel that I'm in Asia or something as well, because there are a lot of Korean, Japanese, Chinese foods.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
And I heard only like maybe two Filipino restaurants here, but there are mostly like Vietnamese, you know, the Asian Thai,
but at least
food.
Asian foods are available. I mean something closer to our palate.
And then my husband and I like French food. I tasted it in Dubai and our travels, but it's very expensive here, the French food. So if you want an affordable option, you just have the burgers and the Asian food, which it's not I'm complaining about, but it's the variety is not that much, I feel. And I heard it from other colleagues who are immigrants as well. So that's what they feel, that not so much variety on food.
Where is the closest Jollibee?
But there's no Jollibee here as well.
No, in Australia.
A few moments later.
How far is Sydney?
In terms of flight, it's like maybe like almost 2 hour flight from here.
Oh, same.
I haven't been to Melbourne, so... because we transferred here 2019 and then pandemic came. So
so you were not given a chance to travel yet.
Yeah. Only like within Queensland. And I went to Sydney for the passport because my passport expired. So I just went there and then came back. But still, Sydney is a very, I feel it's very Asian as well. I feel I noticed the food there. You feel like you're in Asia.
Well, that's at least better than, I mean, not having any Asian food at all. Like, if it's like just... What's the Australian food? Like, I mean, what's the most Australian
food? What's the Australian food?
Because for Canada,
fish and
it's
chips,
protein.
I think.
Fish and chips? Oh, like the UK?
It's like UK. Oh. Yeah. Fish and chips, and they have burger and chips as well. So for them, French fries is chip. They call it chip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But as far as it's fries, so... How about Canada?
The most Canadian food here is poutine. Like, it's
what?
Fries with cheese, and I don't know, it's it's very, I wouldn't say it's oily, but there's cheese, a lot of cheese and
a lot of cheese.
Sour cream. I'm not sure. I haven't eaten it yet because it was too greasy for me. Okay. But my nephews, they all love it. And I think that's the most Canadian food other than...
I'm surprised being there for 6 years, you haven't tried.
I'm a very picky eater, so that's just me. But I think it's actually good because my nephews are also picky eater, but they love it. So for 6 years, I still have not tried it. I guess I haven't been convinced yet to try it because it's too greasy for my taste. Sorry.
Here, before coming to Australia, I feel like I haven't eaten that much burgers as I have eaten here.
So the burgers.
If I count the burgers I eat in Philippines and Dubai, it wouldn't sum up to how much burgers I ate here.
Oh yeah, me too. I mean, for me, pizza. Like the pizza here are also good. I don't know if it's a Canadian thing, but the pizzas are still so good. But I think I have eaten the twice as much as I have in the Philippines. For my whole life in the Philippines. Because the pizzas here are cheap, very accessible. I mean, you can order it online. It can be delivered to you, whether it's snowing or whatever. So pizzas are my counter burgers or the burgers on your side.
So what do you think every Filipino immigrant should know or look out for when they move abroad?
I guess it would be, if there's one thing that you have to take note if you are moving to a different country, it's that, as we have mentioned earlier, you will go through months or years of depression, and it's normal. It's everybody goes through that phase where you have to question your decisions and you feel like it's a bad move for that. So you have to take note, I guess, that this is something that you will experience and you have to brace yourself for that. Other than that, I would say that you have to make sure to also, what else? Wait, I'm thinking of things that you can do for yourself, like just, I don't know, what else do I, because for me, it's the mental part that was actually the most surprising thing for me. Like I already expected that the language will be different, of course, food would be different, everything would be different. So I kind of have expected that. It's the more on the mental state that really surprised me, because when it was said during our training, I was actually more like arrogant, sort of. Like, I wouldn't go through that phase. I mean, I have my family here. I have my work. It's a new life. It's something that, but yeah, I did go through it. And that's one thing that you have to take note. So if you are really decided to come or move to a different country, you have to prepare yourself as well, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah, that's a very good tip. Yeah, I can totally relate on that as
well. It's not easy. It's not an easy journey. There are really ups and downs.
It's not like a bed of roses, right?
Yeah. And that's one thing that you think would happen to you when you move to a different country, like, especially if you have already a job that you will be doing once you arrive to a different country. You think that everything would be okay and you'd just be earning more, but it comes with some takebacks or negative things.
Yeah. And as you mentioned as well, like, we had stable jobs in the Philippines, but when you move abroad, it's always not going to be that way. So most of the time you go back to zero, and also then that adds to your mental state as well. So
that's true.
Yeah, our fellow Filipinos should, or any immigrant should, be mindful of that really can happen and prepare for that situation, because it's not gonna be, if you are a boss in previously, you're sometimes or most of the time you will not be the boss here.
That's true.
You have to start from the ground as well.
That's true.
Now we're for some fun questions, not really related to immigration.
Oh, okay.
So are you ready?
I am.
I've catered this specifically for you. So,
okay.
Okay. Current K-drama you're watching right now, and why should our Zesties watch it?
Hospital Playlist. That's actually my number one K-drama right now. Currently watching it. I highly recommend it. It's different from all the medical dramas that I've seen, because most medical K-dramas, or medical dramas in particular, are usually more on the mystery of a disease and how to resolve it. This one is more on the interaction, the emotional connection between doctors and patients, patients and their
their relatives or family, something like that. So it's more of an emotional journey rather than the mystery of solving a medical condition. So I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I noticed that. But does it have funny moments as well, or it's like really serious?
Oh yeah, it's actually a roller coaster of emotion. Like in one episode alone, you would go from laughing with all the characters, with all the main characters and their interaction with each other because they're friends, and then you go crying when they're dealing with their patients, and then there you would go kilig, which I don't know if there's an equivalent English term, but you feel in love and all that with all the romantic love lines in the series. It's a roller coaster of emotions. So it's definitely something that you may want to check out, but it's not your typical medical drama.
Excited for that. I still have a lot of things on my
all the list.
Okay, drama list, but. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what is your most favorite K-drama of all time?
Oh, wow. Okay. I always, whenever I had a guesting with any podcast, they always ask me, and I always have a hard time with this because I feel that if I choose one, I would hurt the others. I feel that I would be like, it's disrespecting the other K-drama. So I would say I currently love The Hospital Playlist, but my previously, just for this year, I would say my favorite for this year alone is just, which I had you as my guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
just
good.
for this year alone and for the
just
last.
Just for this year. So you're saying that you cannot really choose an all-time K-drama?
No, I cannot. I cannot. I feel again that it would be a disrespect to all the other K-dramas that I loved. So I cannot choose. Sorry.
How about Before Vincenzo?
2020? Oh, definitely Crash Landing on You. It's one of the best of 2020. There's actually a lot from 2020, but that's one thing that I really, really love from that year. Crash Landing on You.
Okay. Then who is the ultimate oppa?
Oh my God. Okay. This one is a bit easy because I do have a list.
Park Seo Joon.
Yeah. They won class. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's currently my number one.
You haven't watched True Beauty kasi, so.
Oh, yeah, I haven't. So? True Beauty. Actually, that's this weekend. That's my K-drama after Taxi Driver, if I finish it today or tomorrow. So after I watch that, because I have 3 more episodes to go and then I'm down to True Beauty. I will update you on that because a lot of people are also asking me to watch that K-drama. But yeah.
Oh, I'm reading now the webtoon, actually.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. I like it. You know, I mean, it's the guy is just the most perfect guy in the world. Maybe second perfect to my husband, but yeah.
I was going to say that, like, your husband could be listening to this one. But yeah. But
I don't know if you like cool.
Oh, guy,
oppa.
There's a Japanese word for that type of character. I cannot remember for my life. I cannot remember the exact term. Maybe the Zesties would know and they can just update you, but I don't remember the exact term, but there is a term used for that type of character. The ones that are cold and nonchalant at first and then they turn into warmer character.
Oh, is it?
There is.
Interesting, because I watch a lot of anime. So before K-drama, there was anime for me, but even now. Mm-hmm. But I'm not very familiar with that term. Or maybe I didn't know.
They told me. The people that were listening to the podcast were also telling me these things. Like, there's a term for this one. There's a term for I'm learning
Although
from them.
I know the term for the cool, but I think it's different. I mean, the Japanese word for cool, like cool guy, but I think it's a different term as well. So that's interesting. So
maybe we can, they can update us. They can tell us if they know the exact term for it. Cause I cannot remember. My memory is really bad. Sorry.
Yeah, me too. So yeah. So before we close off, so please invite our Zesties to listen to your podcast.
All right. Again, I'd like to invite you all Zesties to listen to my podcast. If you are interested in K-dramas, podcast, please listen to Tita Talks. It's not really a Tita related podcast, but it's more of me talking about my favorite, which is K-drama. So we talk about K-drama reviews and all the other episodes. Like I give out suggestions of K-dramas for particular subjects. So if you are interested, please listen to Tita Talks. It's available on streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Cast, or wherever you get your podcast. I do have social media accounts. I may be a Tita, but I do have social media accounts, which is Facebook. It's facebook.com/TitaTalksPodcast. And on Twitter and Instagram, it's @TalksTita.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time today. It was fun and insightful. So yeah, thank you so much.
I hope they learned something from our immigration stories.
Of course. Thanks, Zesty, for listening. If you know the Japanese word for cold guy type of characters, please let us know through the comments on our social media accounts. And oh, by the way, there is no Jollibee in Australia. Imagine the horror, Zesties. Imagine the horror. So based on the website sbs.com.au, the food and franchising brands like Jollibee, Goldilocks, Bibinkinitan, and Max's are hoping to reach the Australian market this year, 2021, but due to unforeseen impact of the pandemic, plans have been put on hold. And if you are an immigrant, how was your immigration journey? If you want to share it with us, please let us know by emailing gleefultalkshow@gmail.com. Please don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to your pods. You can also follow the show on Instagram and YouTube, where I share clips and highlights of the episode. If you want me to stay caffeinated, you may also buy me a coffee or two. Just head down to the episode notes to find out how.